the morning tailgate here on this Wednesday as we round out the end of the week. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you, thank you so much for being with us here today as we broadcast live from our Las Vegas studios. Okay, we got a lot to get into today as far as the show is concerned. Four Down Territory coming up at 7:30. But we will also have Eddie Borsilli joining us from SiriusXM at 8 o'clock. 8:30, Chris Thomas, former Super Bowl champion wide receiver with the Rams. He joins us at 8:30. And Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie at 9 a.m. We'll go over his footage and film study of the Raiders during this offseason. And my good friend, Ash Watkins. Ash, the attorney up on X. She's with Salmon Ash Injury Law. We'll do a little street legal like we always do on Wednesdays at 9:45. 702-365-9200 is the number to reach us here on Raider Nation Radio in the morning tailgate. 702-365-9200. It's our text line brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. Also, we will give a lucky qualifier. Your big name of the day, word of the day for you to text in to 702-365-9200 for your chance to win the Vegas vacation. Hey, you can't win unless you qualify. We'll give you that keyword in about 20 minutes. And we also have Theo Von tickets over at Resorts World on Saturday. The great comedian. We will give you a chance to win those as well here on Raider Nation Radio. I got lots of house cleaning, like trying to sweep up everything before the company arrives. And before the company arrives for training camp, maybe do like a little a gut check on where we're at as far as like Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Yesterday I was inundated on X and throughout on from ESPN to NFL Network, people talking about the quarterback competition that takes place in Las Vegas for the Raiders between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And we got some interesting pieces of audio, but I was just kind of like trying to, like, when people are asking you, just cold gauging you, like you're out in New York, after people want to talk about Saquon and the Jets and then anything else related to New York, what do people say about the growth of Aiden O'Connell, and is he able to take over the reins now in what would be his second year in the league?
Yeah, and I think, you said the key word talk. It's all talk right now. And, the key for Aiden O'Connell is to learn and grow from last year and to build on it. That's what he's tasked to do. I do believe that there's a ceiling remaining for him. He was a little bit on the older side, coming out of Purdue, stayed at Purdue for a long time. Where he is age-wise, he's probably closer to the ceiling than not. But I do think there is more of a ceiling there. And what is it? And I think that's the key to, maybe how far the Raiders go. And Gardner Minshew obviously plays into that as well, because if Aiden O'Connell isn't ready to either take a step forward, or if last year was a mirage, I don't believe it is, but if it was a mirage and he's not ready to be the starter in year two, then they'll turn to Gardner Minshew. But it is all talk right now. And last we saw of the Raider quarterbacks in minicamp and OTAs, it didn't look particularly good, but there's plenty of reasons why that was the case. They were installing a new offense, and that was the whole objective of, not the entire objective, but that was the primary objective offensively, was to get the playbook in. They'll deal with the aftermath of that in training camp. As time has passed since then, both quarterbacks are diving into the playbook and refreshing, and as is the coaches, or as are the coaches and everybody else. But it really isn't going to be until training camp where the true evaluation of which quarterback is going to be the starting quarterback to start the season. And so right now it's just a bunch of, not hot air necessarily, but just kind of opinions nobody knows.
No.
Honestly, nobody knows until we hit the field in Costa Mesa and move forward from that point on. Anyone that says they have an inside track on, who it's going to be or who's the leader in the clubhouse right now is just spewing hot air. Here's what I do know, and I do feel. Nobody's definitively come out and said this, and so I'll preface it by that. But I do believe that the Raiders' hope is that Aiden O'Connell takes charge of this job and, establishes himself as the clear-cut starting candidate, and then holds on to the job as the season goes on. They brought in Gardner Minshew to A, compete with Aiden O'Connell, and if he's the guy in training camp, if he shows that he's decisively the guy during training camp, then he will absolutely get the job. But I think the preference is for Aiden O'Connell, with that remaining ceiling that's still available to him and still out there for him, that he takes the job and grows into that ceiling and becomes a quarterback that the Raiders believe can be somebody that they can build around moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
The likelihood of that happening, I don't know. I'm a little bit dubious on that. I think next year, next offseason, there's a good chance that the Raiders are going to be back looking for a more permanent quarterback. But certainly Aiden O'Connell and, for that matter, Gardner Minshew are going to have a chance to change that narrative and to change that possibility through their performance.
Well, we're hearing a lot of things, for the press conference that took place during minicamp. You could hear guys like Devontae kind of like playing at both sides, wanting to see how everyone's going to work out. But I kind of feel like, there's a certain degree of, hey, we're kind of waiting to see what Aiden can do, because we would love to see him kind of build on what he had last year. I remember Rob Ryan, when we were at a Radio Row in Super Bowl, just the fact that I dare insinuate that the Raiders might be looking for a quarterback in the draft, I thought he was going to get up and fight Lindsay and I, because he was like, you don't understand what kind of talent you got in Aiden O'Connell. He was thrown into the wolves amid the chaos, and he came out of it. And, that's the kind of guy you rally around. And I'm like, hey, I could see that too. But at the same time, you want to know what growth really means. And when you take a look at how much of a competitor Aiden O'Connell has been throughout his college career and for all the stuff that he dealt with last year, it was good to see that he was in the building during the offseason, trying to get better, doing everything he can to improve on stuff that, he needs to work on. That's great. I love to see that. And you know what? Maybe looking at a gauge of how do you find, all right, where was he in his rookie year to where he could be now? Brian Hoyer joined Amber Theo Harris, actually, on Sirius XM NFL. And they were talking about, all right, tell us a little bit more about Aiden O'Connell, where he was last year at this time. But at the same time, as a fourth-round pick, what were the expectations, and where do you see him now? This is an excerpt of that interview they had yesterday on Sirius XM NFL.
What do you think of that battle and what you saw from Aiden O'Connell at the end of last year when he was given an opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, being there firsthand and watching Aiden grow, I remember him saying at the end of the year, I never thought this is how this year would play out. Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo was the opening day starter, and then by the end of the year, Aiden was playing, and at the beginning of the year, he was third on the depth chart, and then he ended up finishing the entire year. And I thought, to see his growth and what he was able to do as a fourth round pick was tremendous. So maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I was actually kind of shocked that they didn't even look at possibly retaining Bo Hardigree, because when Bo took over, as offensive coordinator middle of the year, it took a while, but things really started to pick up. Obviously, we had the big game against the Chargers and then finished the year on a strong note. And there's some great skill players there. I love the addition of Brock Bowers at tight end. You pair him with Michael Mayer, who was a rookie last year who was really coming into his own at the end of the year. They added Trey Tucker last year, who was a great rookie. And you pair those guys with, obviously, Devontae Adams, who's one of the top receivers. And then Jacoby Myers, a guy that I've been with, his entire career, seeing him grow into the player that he is. And I think he really benefited being around Devontae last year. Devontae drew a lot of coverage, and Jacoby became a primary target. And he got to see what a top receiver looks like day in and day out, and really raised his level. So, maybe I'm biased, but I think, what Aiden did last year, I know he hasn't shown it as much as Gardner Minshew has throughout his career, but I know the guys really gravitated to the way Aiden took over and his leadership as a young player.
That's Brian Hoyer with Amber Theo Harris from Sirius XM NFL talking about Aiden O'Connell. And that's where it is, because you only have a certain sample size of games to go by. You're not really sure, like, all right, what's it all look like? But for me, I think it's projecting in the right spot. And even though Aiden said, I didn't see this playing out like this last year.
Who could?
Yeah, who could, right? But even with all that, I still don't think he was in over his skis. I still feel like he was calm and collected at many moments where things could have unraveled, and he wasn't. He stayed in there. And I think just that fact that he battled through a lot of the adversity, but also maybe some of his shortcomings, and still had to keep performing at whatever high level that he could put out there, showed a lot. And each and every week, there was something a little bit different and a little bit more improved on what you saw the week previously. So maybe Brian is onto something that, maybe working with the great skill players overall, maybe that will help decide who begins to start, because you got to get the ball to Devontae and Jacoby and to Brock Bowers. you know, can Aiden O'Connell rely on that experience, that 1 year of continuity with them? Maybe that could be one of those things that thrusts him forward.
Yeah, and you know, I think the challenge for both quarterbacks or whoever is the starting quarterback is just eliminating the clunkers or mitigating the clunker games. You know, Aiden had some of those types of games last year. There's no question about it, where it just wasn't happening for him. The Minnesota Vikings, the Kansas City Chiefs game, where, you know, it was a struggle. He has to – there's going to still be games like that, you know. These aren't quarterbacks that are going to be 9-10 quarterbacks throughout the course of the season. You know, you may get a 9 performance from either one of them, but you're probably living in the world of around 8. Good solid 8.5 performances, 7, you know, a good 7 to 8,
yeah.
Maybe the occasional 10. What you can't have are some 5s or some 4s. And there were some of those, and both, you know, on both quarterbacks resume, there are those. You have to mitigate those and just, you know, as play good, clean football. If either quarterback, whoever the starter is, can play good, clean football for the majority of the season and mitigate the not-so-good games, this team will be in a good position to be competitive, honestly. And you know, do you need elite quarterback play? I don't necessarily think with everything that they have going on with this team defensively and with the weapons, you need to have 9-10 performances from your quarterback. It would be great if you had a quarterback that was capable of doing mm-hmm. that. As of right now, it doesn't look like the Raiders do. But if you can be living in that world of that 7.5 to 8 to 8.5 more often than not, then this team is going to be pretty good, because everything else around the quarterback is in really good shape. So the concern is, you know, having too many of those games where you're contributing to losses rather than contributing to wins, and both of these quarterbacks, or whoever the starting quarterback is, has to mitigate that concern.
Okay, we're off and running here. Let's continue on this. A little more sound that came in through the last couple days about the Raiders quarterback competition, and some of it kind of slants towards Gardner Minshew a little bit. We'll play some of that as well. Josh Jacobs was interviewed by Jason Fitz. We got that audio, and we got 4 Down Territory coming up here on this hour. 702-365-9200. Want to get your thoughts, as well as give you the word of the day for the summer of fun, brought to you by Planet Nissan. Stay tuned. We give it to you in 7 minutes time on the gate.
3 yards behind him. Now he motions back towards the backfield. O'Connell, the snap, fakes to Jacobs. Looks to the left. The has to get out of the backfield. Lobs it to the back corner. Jump ball. Caught. Touchdown, Raiders. Michael Mayer took it over a Jets defender in a jump ball. And the Raiders take the lead. Holy cow. His first career touchdown is a beauty.
It's hard. I still haven't figured that out. I think, you know, that's not unique to me, but I think that's a challenge that's going to be ongoing in my career. And so it's what you said. It's taking it day by day. And, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. I have to remind myself that I so badly want to be perfect every time I go out there. And so trying to give myself some grace to fail, but also trying to be as perfect as I can. And trying to find that balance, I think, is something that's really hard, but I also, you know, it's a challenge I enjoy trying to tackle.
Antonio said that you earned the right to take the first snap, OTA's training camp. How does that make you feel to hear your coach say that?
Yeah, I think, again, since really AP started, he's put a lot of confidence in me and given me a great opportunity. And so just trying to make the most of the opportunity. It really is a privilege and opportunity to get to play on the team and to get reps at the quarterback position. So trying to make the most of it, take every day, and, you know, just trying to make the most of each day that I'm given.
We're back here on Raider Nation Radio. Thanks for being with us here on this Wednesday, the morning tailgate. That was Raider Nation Radio and Vinny Bonsignor catching up with Aiden O'Connell here in this offseason from May at a golf tournament. And, you know, I love that Aiden has the wherewithal to say, you know, I try to give myself some grace when I fail, because I'm not gonna let every little thing get me down as I try to compete with Gardner Minshew for the starting quarterback. And we were just talking about, hey, when you're on a July 4th weekend, we know how it is. You're going to be with friends and family. There's going to be people you haven't seen in about a year, and they're going to want to be asking you about the Raiders, and they'll ask you, so what do you think? Who do you think is going to come out? What's that quarterback between O'Connell and Minshew? And we'll go through that. We'll be like a little primer, like a little self-help guide to help get you through those conversation pieces, you know, as awkward as they might be. But then again, we still don't know, because it's still just talk.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, when we talk about you know, the quarterback, the what type of quarterback play can the Raiders get from a Gardner Minshew and an Aiden O'Connell on an otherwise really good team? You look at the Raiders defense, it finished, you know, in the top 10. I think the needle's still up for that Raiders defense. I think they could get to, you know, 5-4 into that top five range based on, you know, who they have returning, what they brought in with Christian Wilkins, the continuity, all the things that we've been talking about. Then you look at, I think Zamir White is ready to blossom as the everyday running back. You also have a really good support system with Alexander Mattison, you know, and Amir Abdullah, and we'll see what Lauby, the rookie, can provide. Then you look at the weapons that are around the quarterback with Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, and Michael Mayer, and Brock Bowers, and Trey Tucker. It's second to none, really. You know, on paper, it looks as good as any, you know, weaponry in the NFL. So there's a lot that's going on for this Raiders team. It's a lot of it is dependent now on, as we've been talking about and reiterating, what level of quarterback play are they going to get? And this shapes up in so many ways. We've talked about this before. If you want a comp of a pretty darn good team, everywhere but maybe quarterback, go look at that 2017 Minnesota Vikings team that they started the season with Sam Brett, or it was going to be Teddy Bridgewater. Then he gets hurt in training camp, suffers a massive knee injury on a non-contact drill. He's down. The Vikings have to go trade for Sam Bradford. They give up a number one pick to bring him in. He's 2-0, then he gets hurt. And all of a sudden, they got to turn it over to Case Keenum, who is sort of that super sub kind of a quarterback. That's what he's been throughout his career. Has never really been an established starter, but somebody that can come off your bench and give you some solid play. And all of a sudden, Case Keenum leads the Vikings to an 11-3 record. What does he do throwing-wise? Well, he completes 67% of his passes. All right, he's a career 62% completion quarterback. He throws 22 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. Throws for 3,545 yards. They had Kyle Rudolph. They had Adam Thielen. They had Stephon Diggs. You know, was on that team. So a pretty good group of weapons. A running game that had Dalvin Cook was, I believe, a rookie that year or a second year. So he was third on the depth chart. You had Latavius Murray, who had 842 yards. You had Jerry McKinnon, who had 570 yards. As a team, the Vikings ran for 1,957 yards. So they got balance. They got a good solid season from their quarterback. Ended that year 13-3, advanced all the way to the conference championship game. That was the Minnesota Miracle, or the Minneapolis Miracle, where they beat the Saints on a last second play. Go to Philadelphia. The air got taken out of the balloon, and they got trounced by the Philadelphia Eagles. But the point I'm making is, can Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell give the Raiders the type of year that Case Keenum gave the Vikings in 2017? And the answer is, honestly, yes. I mean, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, you know, completed 67% of your passes in a West Coast offense that gives you the ability to make, you know, on target, quick types of throws. The chance for high probability of completing those passes. I think yes, the answer is yes. And if the Raiders do get that level of quarterback play, just that wasn't an all-star, that wasn't an all-pro season by any stretch of the imagination, but it was solid and on a really good. The Vikings had the number one ranked defense. We talked about the Raiders defense and the possibility of being a top five defense. The Vikings averaged 24 points a game offensively. That was good for the 10th best in the NFL. Can the Raiders, who averaged 19 points a game last year, increase that to 23.9? That was what the Vikings averaged in 2017, so about 24 points a game. Can you get 5-6 more points a game for the Raiders this year compared to last year? I don't see any reason why they can't if the quarterback can play just to that level. Now the question is, can either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, or maybe a combination of both of those quarterbacks, over the course of 17 games replicate those types of statistics? And if they can, that is, I'm not saying 13-3. This is a tough AFC. It's a tough schedule. You have to take that into account. But 10 wins, can the Raiders get 10 wins with that level of quarterback play and everything else that's going on for this team, I contend yes.
Can they get 10 wins with a quarterback that's able to be efficient enough to do 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, throw for around 3,300 yards, 3,500 yards? Yeah, it's very possible, especially with the weapons that you have here. For the Raiders' quarterback situation, it's not like the cupboards are bare.
No.
But at the same time, you know, what the Vikings were able to do that year was really improve in the red zone, where they got 57.9% of their red zone appearances followed with a touchdown. That's ninth in the league. That will help you get to that point. That will help the Raiders get to that point too this year, if they can improve what their numbers are in the red zone. Look at your thoughts. 702-365-9200. We'll go out to Parts Unknown with 211 Steel Reserve. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, fellas. God bless. It's been a minute, but I'm always lurking, right?
Beautiful. Hey. How's it going, man?
Hey, it's good, man. You know how they say our brand is global? I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to Clay a little bit while back. I went to Italy. I went to Rome. Me and my wife got out to Europe for the first time ever.
Beautiful. How'd you like it?
Man, I'm going to tell you something. If you guys go to Italy, all the listeners, definitely dedicate Rome. Do Rome by itself, because there's so much to take in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's beautiful. The pictures, the movies, it doesn't do any justice. When you see these buildings that have been there for decades and centuries, man, it's beautiful.
Real quick, we'll give you some time to expound here, because I didn't, you know, I'm Italian. I went to Rome. You know, Italy is, it's in my heart. I didn't think I was going to be as impressed with the Colosseum as I was. I wanted to get your thought, because I just sat there. And just for about 10 minutes, just sat there, just taking it all in. I couldn't believe it. It was an inspiring moment. I want to get your thoughts on seeing the Coliseum, if you guys got a chance to see the Coliseum.
We saw almost everything because my wife's a goer. I tell her, just tell me where you want to go.
Exactly.
And we go. So you ain't lying. You are not lying, Benny. When I saw that thing, even when you're approaching it, you're looking at this thing. You're like, man, I've seen that on TV for years, and it's been in history. And you're looking at it. And you go in there and you see like the underneath part where mm-hmm. it was covered, and the gladiators and everybody's coming out of it. It was breathtaking. Especially my favorite thing was the fountain of my mind's going blank, but the fountain.
Oh yeah,
that fountain was amazing, man. It's crazy how Caesar's Palace actually captures a lot of it. It's insane, but it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You got to get out if you can. But my point was, it was a trip seeing Raider gear out there, knowing that you're in Europe and it is global. And you to see it firsthand, you see it in Mexico, you see it in California, you see it all over the States. But to see it in Europe, you're like, oh, man, we really out here. Like, it was good, man.
Oh, that's good.
That's awesome, man.
But, hey, to touch bases real quick on the O'Connell and Minshew thing. Look, I'm going to back up whatever quarterback is the starter mm-hmm. of the Raiders. I'm going to back him till he's not. And I said that when DC was here, and I said that when Jimmy G was here. But I'm going to back my quarterback regardless. But I'm going to tell people right now, I don't care if Minshew's got moxie or he was born to be a Raider or his style is Raider. No, I don't care about that. I'm going to back up right now when it's undetermined. I'm going to back up the QB that we drafted, we hand-selected, the kid that was thrown into the fire for whatever reason last season, the kid that went in there and was literally running plays that were drawn up in the dirt. That's my QB. And if these guys are really close, I just hope it's close at a high level.
Right.
I'm not going to say I don't like Minshew. I do. I like Minshew. But I'm going to go with my Raider drafted QB, and I hope he's the one. I'm in the O'Connell camp. But like I said, whoever it is, it better work. I've told you guys time and time again, it better work. I do love the fact that we finally have a defense that I'm like, man, I'm so juiced. I cannot wait. If the defense is really truly what people are projecting it to be, like, everybody wants to say that front is cool, and that, you know, the secondary was kind of shaky, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Secondary is only as good as your front and your pass rush. If that comes along, it makes it a whole lot better and easier for that secondary to react to whatever's going on. So if that defensive line is going to be the way it should be, man, I'm so juiced and I'm ready. And I want to say some quick shout-outs real quick, because it's been a while. Say what's up to my boy, Apostle Raider, Raider Rob, stick hanging in there, brother. I'm praying for you. Raider man, everybody man, stay up. I haven't talked to Raider man in a minute, but everybody stay up. Clay, Vinny, hopefully I will catch you guys. I'm in the process of booking my first game out to Vegas with my son, because we finally decided let's go do it.
Oh, yes.
So we will definitely hook up. Raider Nation, stay up. Holla at your boy if you can hear me. Like I always say, Raider!
Whoa,
that's awesome, man. Can't wait to see you, buddy.
Can't wait for that moment. Finally, to break some bread with 211. That's going to be a shining moment, my friend.
You know, I don't buy the shaky in the secondary. You know, I know 211 was kind of reiterating some points that other people are making about.
Yeah, they're like the national scene seems to be like they don't have a cornerback one. They don't really see the kind of action we have seen.
Right, and within the nation, you know, there's like this perception that it's shaky because they haven't identified that starter. You know, that one starter. But when you look at the collective of the secondary and you're talking about Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs and Marcus Epps and Trayvon Merrick and Isaiah Palamau and some of the youngsters that they have in and around that, they're going to have to figure out who that starter is going to be. But that's not unlike a whole lot of other teams in the NFL. They're kind of getting, you know, a position sorted out. But collectively, there's nothing shaky about that secondary. It's a good, solid secondary with a chance to be really good if Jack Jones continues on the path that he set forth last year when he got here in November, and Nate Hobbs stays healthy. I really like the two safeties and the depth of that safety room. So, I think that if healthy, Brandon Faison is going to be a solid piece, whether he's the starter or one of the key rotational pieces. If Jakorian Bennett can hold on to the starting job. So I definitely don't feel shaky. I just feel, there's a little bit of uncertainty in one position. Otherwise, it's covered like a glove.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more on this and more thoughts. Thanks, 211. Great call to start us up here on Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate. And as promised, the Summer of Fun continues on through the month of July. And we'll give you a chance to qualify for this week's vacation in Las Vegas. You get 3 nights here in Vegas. You get to see a Sphere show. You got the September Super Concert boxing match that you could go to. A hotel, spending cash, $1,000. High Roller, Alejandro Fernandez, pair of tickets. Pair of tickets to Cirque du Soleil and a whole lot more. Text the word STADIUM to 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. Text the word STADIUM and you qualify for this week's prize. We come back in just a few minutes. More on this on the other side. And what did ESPN's Jeremy Fowler have to say about the quarterback competition? You hear it next.
Year two, he's been more vocal. Mm-hmm. He's acting like a starter. He's got the stamp of approval from Davante Adams, who loves him. That always helps a little bit when you got your top pass catcher has your back. I'm told Gardner Minshew has also made quite the impression. Showed a lot of moxie. He's going off script. He's changing plays in the huddle already. He's learned the offense that quickly. And so it could very well be a situation in July and August where they split preseason games.
Right.
Maybe O'Connell starts the first one. Maybe Minshew starts the second, or they flip-flop. But that very well could be the scenario. This is a true battle. This will play out. We don't see a lot of these in training camps most of the time. It's usually rubber-stamped. But this one will be pretty open, it looks like. O'Connell has made a good start, though.
But I'm going to back my quarterback regardless. But I'm going to tell people right now, I don't care Minshew's got moxie, or he was born to be a Raider, or his style is Raider. No, I don't care about that. I'm going to back up right now when it's undetermined. I'm going to back up the QB that we drafted, we hand-selected, the kid that was thrown into the fire for whatever reason last season, the kid that went in there and was literally running plays that were drawn up in the dirt. That's my QB. And if these guys are really close, I just hope it's close at a high level.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, senior NFL writer, with 211 Steel Reserve here on Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate. Eddie Borsilli and Chris Thomas will join us in the second hour. Get us your thoughts at 702-365, just 9200. That's what we're starting to see, and I can see where it's drawing the ire, hearing the word moxie and all these other adjectives that describe Gardner Minshew. You know what? It's not enough, because anytime somebody puts that out there, you could see on X or social media that, you know, Raider Nation doesn't want to hear moxie. They know moxie can get you so far, but, you know, is it going to get you a Super Bowl? And is that going to be enough to beat a guy like Aiden O'Connell? Either way, everyone's going to be on one side or the other until they find the definitive guy. And I'm wondering, when we have that moment in preseason where maybe Aiden O'Connell starts preseason week one against the Vikings and perhaps Minshew in week two, just as a thought. What kind of coaches do you think in the philosophy will be there for the opponents? Because Mike McCarthy in week two for the Dallas Cowboys, he doesn't play starters in the preseason. He didn't do it in Green Bay. He doesn't do it in Dallas. They still find a way to come out really strong to start the season. So he's got his own way. So it makes me wonder what kind of competition we'll both be going after, because I have a feeling Kevin O'Connell, he wants to see what a lot of his guys are going to do, and you might see some starters out there as they both kind of like work through their progressions to find out what kind of team they have and what kind of quarterback they have. Both O'Connell and Antonio Pierce might actually have something very interesting preseason week one game coming up.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from the Cowboys or the Vikings or anybody else, I think it's going to be less about the opponent and who they run out there, because like you said, every coach is going to have their philosophy on what they want to do. And, you know, the Vikings are in a different place than the Dallas Cowboys. So the Vikings, you know, to your point, may want to, put some first teamers out there to see, what J.J. McCarthy can do with them, or where Sam Darnold. They're in an entirely different, you know, place right now than the Cowboys. So it's going to be less about the opponent and more about which quarterback clicks with, you know, the first team players that they're playing with. And a lot of that's going to be, you know, probably obviously the primary and predominant weight is going to be put on classroom and practice reps and, you know, everything that's going to happen in training camp with some of the game that they play, to whatever extent either plays in the preseason. That'll be put, you know, be part of the decision making as well. But I think more than anything, what Antonio Pierce and the staff want to see is, you know, the operation, the level of operation, the level of chemistry that can be gleaned or built, when either of these quarterbacks are out there with the first team. And it's only going to be briefly anyway. That's why I kind of also contend, Clay, that so much of this, too, will carry over into the regular season. And by that, I don't mean that they're going to be purposely alternating quarterbacks, or, you know, giving one guy a game and another guy the next game, or a series here or a series there. What I mean is that whoever is deemed the starter coming out, now his challenge is to hold onto that job through performance. But I don't think that we're going to be able to find out who's ready to do that until the actual games really begin. And, you know, you hope, the Raiders certainly do, that whoever they deem the starter is going to go post to post as the starter, and their performance is going to dictate that they remain the starter. Now, injuries can happen, and that's a whole other issue. That would be the hope, but that's not the guarantee. Whoever that starter is over those first 4 weeks of the season, I think, are going to, you know, have to show that not only was I named the starter, but I am the starter. And the only way they can, make that a certainty is through their performance.
All right, let's take some thoughts here on the text line, 702-365-9200. We'll clear the phones for you to get a chance to win tickets to go see Theo Von over at Resorts World. He plays this weekend. We got tickets for the Saturday show over at Resorts World Theater. You can get your tickets at AXS.com, but I got two tickets for Theo Von, Return of the Rat Tour, 702-365-9200. Caller 9 gets you into the show here on The Gate.
Now back to Clay Baker with your morning tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Maybe that wasn't a hot dog. That's a hot dog.
Yeah.
Cortez Kennedy got that hot dog someplace, and he gave it to Rick Meyer. I thought it was chewing tobacco. That was a big old hot dog.
If it is, they're both going to be sick very shortly.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't eat the tobacco. Cortez is eating a hot dog. And he gave it to Meyer. And they don't have anything to wash it down with.
That's a big hot dog.
I think they just opened another one. They have more than one down there. Cortez Kennedy's final numbers, 2 tackles, 3 batted balls, and at least 2 hot dogs. Here's how they smuggle it in right
in
there.
The helmet.
There's a hot dog in that helmet. This is how they do it.
The legendary John Madden. 2 tackles, 3 batted balls, and 2 hot dogs. We're back here on Raider Nation Radio. Thank you for being with us. We'll take your thoughts at 702-365-9200 from our text line and our phones. Text line brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. Eddie Borsilli will join us at the top of the next hour, and Chris Thomas will join us around 8:30 from Fusion Odyssey, former Super Bowl champion wide receiver. Thoughts from the text line from the 212 asking us, the thoughts on Brian Hoyer saying that he was shocked that the Raiders didn't retain Bo Hardigree as offensive coordinator. Bo moved on to Tennessee. He's quarterback's coach over with the Titans right now. But I guess maybe the thought is, why didn't they retain him? I think it was time you just got to start anew.
Yeah.
Because you're gutting pretty much a lot of different personnel out of that offense. You got to go and find something you're willing to work with. And also, you know, I don't know if if Bo was ready to become an offensive coordinator, because there were times when it didn't look that just wasn't that kind of snap, and it wasn't that kind of connection with the offense that you needed to have, even with Bo Hardigree having, you know, a lot of continuity in the McDaniel system. When they made that transition, it didn't really fulfill on the field.
No, and I think that what Antonio Pierce sizes up this team, and what's the biggest issue offensively, they, you know, how many games, 10 games where they couldn't get over 16 points a game. It was fat chance that, the majority of the coaches on that side of the ball were going to come back. Mm-hmm. Bo Hardigree, to his credit, you know, was kind of a stopgap there in the middle of the season. He did as good a job as you possibly can under those circumstances. But once Antonio Pierce became, you know, the head coach on a full-time basis, he wanted his own vision offensively, his own hand-picked offensive coordinator, and wanted to go in that direction. So I wasn't surprised at all that Antonio wanted to go in a different direction, and that's exactly what he did. Now we'll see if Luke Getsy is the right guy to push the right buttons here with the Raiders to get the most out of an offense that has pretty much everything you want in place, and now has to figure out a way with a level of quarterback that Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew can provide. And the goal is to try to make the playoffs, and I think 9 to 10 wins will put you into that world. How do you get 10 wins? How do you get enough offense to put this team in position to win 10 games this year with that defense? That's the task of the season right now, and a lot of it's going to come down to the level of play that the quarterback provides.
And we talked a little bit this week about the offensive line that they'll be working with both quarterbacks. I think the offensive line has improved. I think the depth has improved there, that they can actually, you know, not only, you know, provide pass protection, but I am really looking forward to see what the run game can also look like. This is also a quarterback's good friend right now, to see, like, can you stay on the field long enough and have that balanced attack that they did not have last year. Aiden O'Connell did not have the balanced attack that, you know, most quarterbacks would really wish to hope for, to have some sort of consistent game in and game out performance, because either it was on the offensive line, it was on the structure of plays, it was on Josh Jacobs. Either way, what you weren't getting out of the running back was consistency.
Except for the last four games. So they got the running game. It came too late, obviously. But you got a glimpse of really what Antonio Pierce wants this offense to be about in terms of the running game. Those last four games when Zamir White took over for Josh Jacobs, it was churning at a pretty decent level, and it was getting better actually as the year went on. So why was that important? Well, in the Kansas City Chiefs game, they couldn't do anything in the passing game.
No, not a thing.
But they still had enough defense and enough of a running game to be able to go win a game on the road. Like I said, those are the games that the quarterbacks need to avoid. Of course, you're going to have some bad games here and there, and that's understandable. But they just need to minimize those to just, you know, not zero. It's not going to be zero. But, you know, two or three at most during the course of the season, and then play, you know, good, solid to really good football the rest of the way. And if the quarterbacks can do that with that running game, I think is going to be a something that the Raiders can hang their hat on behind that offensive line and structurally and what, you know, Antonio Pierce wants to be the focal point of this offense, or at least the foundation of this offense. Because if he can get that running game, and that's why we've talked, Clay, so much about that running game needs to be ready to go ASAP, because as you said, that's the best friend of a quarterback, is a good sound running game. If they could get that day one, that's going to be really important for either of the quarterbacks.
That's what Case Keenum had in Minnesota in 2017. McKinnon, Latavius Murray, solid running game. They had kind of like even Dalvin Cook provided some important yardage. You could rely on a running game right there, and that spelled everything you need for a quarterback like Case Keenum, who wasn't setting the world on fire prior to that season. But he was able to actually have it all collected because the cast around him was so sound.
Yeah, and he didn't necessarily set the world on fire with the Vikings that year. 22 touchdowns to center, 7 interceptions. That's it's, you know, in what was it, 13 games. So you account for that a little bit. That's good.
It's good.
But it was good enough. That was the whole point. It was good enough. And he wasn't throwing the ball all around the yard. Wasn't, you know, on the bad side of the interceptions. 22 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. That's a decent ratio right there. And completed a high percentage of his passes to your, as you said earlier. The Vikings were really effective in the red zone. So it's those margins, too, and we've been talking about this. Success in the red zone and success on third downs, those are going to be two critical areas for this Raiders offense, and in particular for those quarterbacks. Both quarterbacks, based on what they did last year in each of those categories, need to improve in both of those categories for the Raiders to get those statistics turned around in the red zone and on third down, because the Raiders as a team weren't good in either of those areas last year.
Vinny and Clay, on your Wednesday, we move into the second hour with Eddie Borsilli. We'll talk to him about the Raiders quarterback competition and what he sees right now throughout the league with some of the opponents the Raiders will face early on. All that and more. It's Raider Nation Radio. It's The Gate.